You're not swinging with Big Yawn, no, come back.
Time to turn the music up and go swing.
Live from the Dash, swinging with Big Yawn Podcast. We back at it again, man. It's going down, man. You know I got a lot to talk about today, man. So much been going on. But I got to get my viewpoints on a few things, man. And I just need to see what y'all think about it. And today, you know, I got to welcome back. I think it's been a minute since he's been on. You know, I had other guests on recently. I got to bring back my twin brother, my brother from another, my weirdo brother, my nerdy brother, my he can do everything that I can't do, but I probably could do if it was taught to me, and I could probably do it better. Let's give it up for my boy, D-Shun, a.k.a. X-Bizzle, a.k.a. Xbox, a.k.a. Nintendo 64. What's going down?
Oh, the jello pudding pump. I just wanted to honor Bill Cosby temporarily as I learned a new alias that he goes by now, and that is Pill Cosby.
a.k.a.
today. Till Cosby. I was like, oh, okay, because of the roofies and his other behavior. All right, Till Cosby. And I actually heard it with Lunell.
Yeah.
On a John Amos DJ Vlad interview.
Yeah, I posted that clip.
Yeah, that's why I heard it actually from your clip today.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, this is
so it was funny as hell because John Amos was trying so fucking hard not to laugh, man. He was trying to be the humble celeb that didn't want to laugh or didn't want to touch bases, but it was all in his face, man. And Lunell's voice is hard to resist laughing at Lunell, man. Lunell funny as fuck to me, but yeah.
Yes, she's hilarious. I give her that. But it was good to see John Amos. I mean, he looks great, you know, at his age right now. And him playing the dad on Good Times, which I wonder if he was in his 30s during that.
He does, man. He don't look. He really don't look like he's aged at all. He kind of still look like he did back then, but you know, he got a little time on him. But he does, man. He look real good. But that if you get a chance, man, y'all go check out that them clips from DJ Vlad and the John Amos interview with Lunell asking them the questions, man. It's pretty entertaining and informative. He touched on a lot of things when he was with Kansas City, why he got fired from Good Times, what's his relationship like with Norm Lear and all that. So, yeah, man, check that out.
Most definitely. While we at plugging in content, y'all make sure to now catch this podcast on Apple.
Most definitely.
It took us a while to get on Apple for whatever reason, but we there now. For those of you who had the excuse of like, well, you're not on Apple Podcasts, so I'm not going to even bother. Now, I was actually one of those people. So,
but you stupid because we make the episode, so you know what we said. So who cares if you don't listen? Your analytics don't matter. Yeah, man. Hold up.
Today, Cat Daddy.
So,
what's good?
The thing that's been going on, man, before any of you fuckers get in, turning me off and all that because you think it's finna get wild, you know, I want to talk about the title of this episode is Your Business, My Business. And how I came about that is because I seen so much fucking ranting and raving on social media about the whole D Wade and his son situation and everything. I seen so much. The main rebuttal that I saw from a lot of people is that's not none of y'all business. But technically, it is our business. If we want it to be, why is it our business? Because them boys put that out there for everybody to have a say-so, an opinion, a comment. They did that. We didn't. Wouldn't nobody even know the shit that was going on if they didn't put it out there? As like with most people, if you put go ahead.
No, I was just going to add too, man. Like, when people are, when celebrities are deliberately sharing, which I don't even want to call it sharing, but when they're delivering this sort of narrative and directly to Twitter or wherever else, just willingly making it out in the public, you have to ask, like, what's the reason behind this? Like, what are y'all trying to spread or encourage? Why do we need to know that your son, Zion, formerly Zion, now Zaya, you know, I'm trying to be respectful by referring to her as Zaya, but first of all, she's Zion. Genetically, she's still a boy, so no matter how much you change your physical place, genetically, you are what God made you, you know, but that's the question, though, like, why, what are y'all trying to, you know, there's a bigger agenda, and I was just even mentioning that, you know, we don't get the hate, and because we're quote-unquote taking it too far.
It's so annoying at this point, man, that, you know, people really don't believe. And it's like you say, it makes you wonder, what are they trying to accomplish? And the rebuttal for that will probably be, they're trying to show strength. They're trying to show compassion. They're trying to show that you can live in your truth. But you can live in your truth without doing all that extra shit. You know what I'm saying? You can live in your truth, man. I know it's some cats out here that's gay that just living their truth, man. They ain't running around with all that makeup on and shit like that, saying that their name is this, that, and the other. Those are extremists. When you got people like that, those are the extremists of that particular situation that's going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, and people still not believing in agendas and conspiracies and shit. It's kind of annoying. If you just read a fucking book or just pay attention, you can see that shit be going on, and you know it's a reason why. So that's a fucking conspiracy.
Well, there's a reason why people dismiss conspiracies, because one, so there's this like culture and that I've been really like just kind of observing from afar, you know, and it has a lot to do with the manosphere. That's what it's called. And you either there's this thing called pull from the matrix, where you're taking a blue pill and a red pill, you know, and those people that dismiss conspiracies very much so are still, you know, they don't want the blue pill reality sort of dissipate from them, meaning that the lives that they're living, they would rather live a comfortable life and be oblivious, because, you know, to be honest with you, ignorance is bliss. And when I went on my conspiracy Illuminati research back in early 2012, 2013, ended at 2014, like, I almost lost my mind researching a lot of it, because when you go into the depths of it, we start making these connections between Luciferians, the hand symbols that flood the media, the black and white checkerboards you see throughout certain cartoons and other things. Those things have meaning, you know, and you have to ask yourself the question, why is this all going on? And the thing that I'm later down now kind of observing right now, even more on a ledge, is, you know, the influx of superheroes that we're seeing, and why is this happening right now? You know, somebody may be saying I'm going too far with it, but I'm just, right now, all I'm doing is just observing and asking those questions, you know, and even with Dwayne Wade, we can't be blind to the fact that, you know, and it's more, I think it plays into the narrative with him, what is the word, emasculating black men even further with this female narrative, because that's what's really happening. Like, he's supporting a demanitizing, I'm just making up a word, demanning, you know, young boys by, like, hey, look, I'm a famous basketball star and I'm black and my son is now a girl and you could be just like him too. And he's not saying that, but that's what he's really saying without saying it.
Right.
Because if you have people that, somebody that's as pointed as a basketball player as D-Wade was, man, I mean, that's, somebody's going, like, young black boys who admire him or still admire him or looking at him and just like, you know, his son is like, you know, I've been feeling this way for a long time. And Dwayne Wade's son's coming out the closet, and according to Dwayne Wade and his language, his son is, or his daughter now is leading them on this journey.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's going to encourage a lot of people, you know, young boys.
It is, man.
It's sad, man. It's kind of sad.
All that shit would be fine and dandy, man, but Dwayne Wade be making shit look, he be making shit worse on himself to me by saying stupid shit like at 3 years old his son knew he wanted to be a transgender and shit like that. Like, come on, man, that's a bit much. You know what I'm saying? I haven't come across, and I've come across a lot of 3-year-olds before. People be like, well, how many 3-year-olds have you seen? Like, don't even start that stupid shit. But I've come across a lot of 3-year-olds in my time, and I haven't bit much seen one that even knows, you know, what they really are as a boy or a girl. You know what I'm saying? They just know that they living, they having fun, they enjoying life. You know, they don't have a care in the world. And for you to just outright to try to make your point clear, whatever the fuck you was trying to do when you said that shit, that you knew it at 3 years old that this was what he was gonna be. What are you really trying to get with that? You know what I'm saying? Like, why did you even say that? You didn't have to say that, man. Support your son and let that be that, man. You know, but like I said, this episode ain't even about them and what they got going on. It's more so about what the people why the people feel like it's none of your business when stuff like this arises on social media.
Let me add too, because the topic is, you know, is it our, it's our business to mind our business or whatever the topic that we got going on right now. But I was just about to say that once you actually share it in the public, you know, especially you have to, like, there's a saying where, you know, we have freedom of speech, you know, say what you want. It's a free world, it's a free country, but the people, there's the second side to that is that there's consequences to when you just say things right. You may be free to say whatever you want, you're not free of the consequences. But with celebrities tend to have this sort of like trance effect, sort of this witchcraft over people that they become so infatuated with that sort of celebrity that they just feel this emotional connection and they will protect them. So Dwayne Wade gets a pass. And to be honest with you, when it comes to this trans stuff, most women are a lot more supportive of this. But the hypocrisy with women supporting it is that, you know, it's like, you go, girl, like, you go, boy, and you're courageous and you're brave for standing out, which, I mean, it takes bravery to do some evil, just like it takes bravery to do some good, you know? And the thing being is that, you know, with the support of his son coming out like this and leading people on this journey. So what if his son decides to, like, play women's sports? Oh, he's going too far. You know, that's another topic I really want to get into at a later time. We could jump on that, too, if you want to. But I got a bone to pick with that sort of hypocrisy as well, that women are supportive of this sort of narrative. But when it is invasive on their territory in certain arenas, such as, like, sports and that sort of thing. Now we're sticking on fairness, you know, and it's when you're talking about these things, there's an extreme, man. You open the door for this, you have to open the door for everything else. And people don't realize that. They think they can just kind of pick and choose which segments that this is permissible. But when you are opening the door, you're opening a portal to let, like, all this other stuff come in. And that's exactly right. What's going to happen. And so if we're supporting Zaya and this journey that she's taking the weights on, then when she starts making decisions that's going to infiltrate the normalcy of what, for example, that the people that are supporting this, and when they start saying they're going too far, it's kind of like, no, hold on, no, this ain't going too far. Like, y'all wanted this. This was brave. Go ahead and let them in. I really have a problem with women and other people having a problem with transgender boys playing women's sports. I have a problem with that because of the fact that, and that may sound bad on me, but I only have a problem with it because if you are letting, if they are, when they're coming out and they're courageous and brave, you're all in support of this, but then you want to kind of be hypocrites and not let them play in your sports, like, that's a huge problem. But that touches on a bigger issue, that this is just allowing permission for a lot of other things to happen. That's just very well so going to happen here in the upcoming future. So I wanted to definitely mention that out because it's all connected.
Oh yeah, most definitely, man. I mean, the whole when it first started coming out, that fucking transgender guys, guys that turned into girls, transgender girls, I guess, when it came out that they was winning wrestling events, it's like, how fucking stupid are you people to let that shit go on? Like, you letting a guy, like you say, that's genetically a man fucking wrestle girls and giving them titles and state championships and shit like
that's what I'm saying. They have to, because, and the reason that they have to is because, like, if they're going to be allow this to be permissible, if this is supposed to be an act of bravery and America is supposed to look at this as people who are wanting to be trans as some sign of courage, if this is going to be permissible and the behavior just coming out and doing trans, and we're talking about changing pronouns and stuff, well, now you have to, that narrative has to change in other areas of life as well. That even includes being involved in doing, you know, women's sports. Because if you're in support of them transitioning, you need to be in support of two of them playing. Because if you agree that said boy is now a girl, then they should be able to, one, play women's sports, as disgusting as it sounds, two, go into women's restrooms, three, any other, like, act that a woman is allowed to do, basically, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
Three is everything else. Right now, off the top of my head, I can only think of playing women's sports and using a women's restroom. Everything else that involves a woman, you know, if they're a trans person, of course, once obviously wear dresses, get in the women's dressing room, all this stuff has to be permissible if they're going to identify as a girl. You can't segregate and separate them. Well, we know you were once a boy, now you call yourself a girl, but now we got this trans dressing room. That's an insult. Because if I'm a man and I now want to transition as a woman, be known as 100% complete woman, then I want to act as a woman. I want to be accepted as a woman. I want to be able to go into the women's restroom. I want to be able to go into the women's dressing room. I want to be able to do things that a woman wants to. Don't sit up here and try to isolate me and segregate me and create this new lane that's still, like, making me feel like this anomaly, making me feel like I'm some sort of freak by giving me this trans area. Because that's basically what you would have to do. You would have to create a division now where there's men's sports, there's women's sports naturally, and then there's trans sports. And you could just let all the people, you know, the trans people participate in their own arena, but we still kind of see y'all as freaks. But we accept you and we applaud you and you're brave, and we'll give you, you know, Kris Jenner's, you know, Caitlyn Jenner's now, as many awards as you possibly want, but we still, you know, the undercurrent is that you're still a freak to us by how your actions do that. Does that all make sense?
I mean, yeah, it does. But again, it goes back to those, even though they want to be accepted and, you know, it doesn't have to be permissible. It's some things, if you want to talk about drawing a line and shit, that's one of those things where you draw the line. You don't let fucking people that's genetically men compete against fucking women. If that's the case, then you got to eliminate all the shit, because what's going to happen after a while is actual men that are identified as men are going to start arguing the fact that, hey, if he can compete against these women and win titles, then shit, I can go to the WNBA. Now, I might look like a man, but I identify as a girl, and there's nothing you can do about it if we allow it to be permissible. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell me I don't identify as a girl. You know, like, you just open those kind of doors if you don't draw that line, which I'm glad I seen some girls, I think it was in Connecticut, I'm not sure, they are fighting that you know, letting those the transgenders or whatever compete in their sports and stuff like that. And it's only right, man. That shit is wrong.
You know, fight as you may, because you have to, you're right. You have to draw your line and saying you have to pick which side that you're on. Those women can fight, but they have to fight in a way of saying, like, also too, I don't accept trans people, period. I don't accept this whole thing of you, like, saying that you're a woman, but you're a guy now that you are a woman. You can't sit up here and applaud and think that these people are brave and then, you know, want to go to court when they want to participate in your sport. If that's their initial, like, you know, attitude, then, you know, then they'll be hypocrites. But if they were just girls and they're saying, like, you know, no, this ain't all the way around, this ain't cool, then they have every right to go ahead and petition and protest against that by going to court and saying, no, this ain't, they're not women, they're not girls, they still are genetically men. Now, I don't care how much testosterone or whatever else they want to, like, you know, estrogen, whatever, not testosterone, but estrogen and deep testosterone they're going to take, but however the science goes behind that. But these are, you know, men still, and I don't want them participating, competing in my sport. That was, you know, just meant for me and my gender. But I don't know, man. This whole, like, LGBTQ plus, man. Like, it's a video on YouTube that I watched, and it had me completely baffled and confused. Like, there was, like, people on there. There was a panel, and on the panel, there was, like, a standard transgender person. And then there was, like, some other people claiming, like, I am transgender, binary, double helix, Oval Felix, Q times, Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley. You know, it was just all these, this sort of identification. It was hella confusing. It was just bad. I was like, I can't even.
Yeah.
I can't at all, man. Like,
the thing is, man, whatever them people choose to do, that's fine, man. You know, they however they want to live, because, you know, you got to say shit like this now on shit like this. Because you got to be clear, you know, that in no shape, form, or fashion are anybody promoting no hate of the LGBTQ plus community or whatever. But at the same time, man, if y'all going to put that stuff out there, which goes back to the title of my episode, then it becomes people business. Not my business per se, but just in general, man, that stuff become people business. And when you put your stuff out there like that over social media, because it might be people, it's going to be people close to you that know and around you. But when you start putting that stuff on platforms like social media, it becomes everybody's business. And you just got to be prepared for what comes with that. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a lot of hate, a lot of comments, a lot of opinions, all that stuff, man. And it's not just with them. That just was a particular, with the situation with D-Way was just what inspired me for this particular episode. But it's not just with them. That's just with people, period. I said a lot of times I post stuff on the internet because when I post certain things, I be wanting to know what people think. But at the same time, it's a transparency when I post some of my business. Like when I post about me, what I went through to leading up to me going to therapy and stuff like that. I put people in my business for that part. Now, I wanted people to be in there because I want people to know that it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's okay to go to therapy. It's okay to get help. It's okay for whatever it is, even with the community, the LGBT community. It's okay to go get that help and get you some relief from this. This world is cruel. It's cruel as fuck. You know what I'm saying? So it's okay for that. So I opened the door for that transparency of myself and let people in my business. So if something would have came from that, if something would have came from me posting about myself going to therapy to where somebody hated on them, be like, you fat fuck, you know what I'm saying? Who's helping you? You know, something negative like that. I couldn't really be mad because I opened that door. You know what I'm saying? I opened that door for anything that was going to come with it. Now, thankfully, you know, I got warm welcomings and well wishes and, you know, positive comments about being that transparent in that situation. But I put that out there. So now anytime I come across somebody and I run into them and they say, hey, how's therapy going? I'm not going to be like, what? What you mean? You know what I'm saying? What? That's my business. Oh, I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because I opened that door, and that's what people got to understand. Like, once you put it on social media, man, your business becomes the world's business, whether you like it or not, or however you view it. And just because a person is a celebrity or whatever, because the whole stupid thing about when people say, people be worried about somebody who don't even know they exist. Like, it doesn't matter whether they know you exist or not. They can still comment on that celeb and shit, man. It's a lot of people, quote-unquote, regular people that don't know I exist or I don't know they exist. But if my business comes across their timeline or their business come across my timeline, it's open season for me whether or not I want to comment or say some shit or they want to comment and say some shit. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. And you have to be careful. You have to be really, I'm really selective about what I like post and like, you know, especially with my Christian, you know, identity I'll get checked quick. Like, I'm just like, I feel spiritually. No, I don't need to say that. I just won't post it. I'll be fine if I posted it.
Right.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, I made a post. It's funny because I had made a post on my Facebook wall. I was just soaking. You know, I just want to be lighthearted on Valentine's Day, man. And actually, I will admit that I got checked for a post that I actually did. And I had actually said that, you know, if you're still doing, like, you know, chocolates and stuffed animals, you know, ladies, you need to, like, you know, shoot your man, not with a bullet, but with, like, a text message that says, we're, like, through or get a divorce or something like that. You know, that was just spirit of divorce. I had a sister in the Lord, like, you know, call me out and said, no, don't be doing that. Like, don't be wishing divorce on anybody, you know, and that was, you know, I understood it completely. So I just changed the wording and just made it more approachable, you know, so.
I saw that post, too. I saw that post, you know. I just looked at it as, you know, as comical. I got the context of why you were saying it, but at the same time, just knowing you, I looked at it as comical. But
I know you would have, and maybe other people did too, you know.
But it was that one. It was that
just struck them at like.
It was that one. It was that one that took it. You know, they took it to heart or took it as something different. Because they didn't they don't know you or understand. But once again, you open that door. You open that door for the reception,
right,
of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Even with like lighthearted jokes, man. You just, in this day and age, man, you just gotta be careful. Like, I responded. Do you remember that video we watched that had the, like, it was from The Onion, but it was like the boy, like the parents were celebrating
Killed somebody or some shit.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was just, my mom, I didn't know the video was like fake. Like, I didn't either. Like,
it seemed like, so real.
It seemed so surreal. And I responded like, this is just way inappropriate. I was in a position that woman was that called me out on the post that I did, where I was like, this ain't even funny, man. Like, this is really, you know. And then some other dudes got mad because I was a bit disturbed by it. And to be honest with you, like, the person that said that I was out of line for being disturbed was like, man, I thought you was better than this because I watch your, like, YouTube videos and, you know, your content's really good, but I'm just really disappointed by this response that you couldn't take a joke. And it was just, man, it had me, like, kind of just, like,
yeah, see, when I saw the video, I didn't know. If I would have known that the video came from The Onion from the jump, I would already know, because I'm familiar with The Onion and a few other satire sites and things of that nature. But I didn't know that video came from The Onion. I just seen it come across my timeline, and what the shit was saying and shit seemed so real. It was like, wow. Bruh.
Yeah, man. You know what? It's funny because here's how the platforms work, to be honest with you. Like, Facebook, I know for a fact that, like, Facebook people tend to be more, like, if I posted something on Facebook, people would literally, like, see me on a post that I may have posted or said. But if I did that, like, what you see on Twitter and what I feel like what you see on, like, YouTube oftentimes isn't reflective of what reality is going to be in store for you. But if it's on Facebook, I think Facebook is closer to people literally following up on things that you say on Facebook, and that actually affecting the reality that you live in. So I'm much more careful in terms of posting on Facebook, because most of the people on Facebook are actually people that I've met in reality to begin with. Whereas YouTube, Twitter, these are people that don't know me left from Sam. They just see my content. They're just reacting and participating and engaging in the actual content I put out. Whereas Facebook is more intimate because these are people that I've met in real life or am going to meet in real life. And it affects them more, I mean, differently. So for me, man, because I just like putting out content that people want to engage in, my taste of choice is going to be YouTube. Pretty much for the most part, YouTube. But I just started writing on Medium, you know, because I appreciate want to engage in the intellectual thought. And when you write on Medium, this is for the listeners out there who don't know this. If you become a writer on Medium, and if you are an aspiring writer, you can actually get paid for the words that you write. If you have people that are reading them. I already got like an 11 cent payment from Medium, you know, for some of the articles I already wrote. So it just, it keeps me like inspired to write even more. But those are the two. If anybody wants to like engage with me more, they're going to have to just check out my YouTube channels and follow me on Medium, where I really put out content that I just, people want to see. You know, the people I engage with on Facebook, they're people that know me, you know, so it's just kind of like, I don't know. It's just weird, man. I put out something thought-provoking and it's just crickets, man. I put out something about my family or baby born. It's just all these likes and bubbles and hearts. I'm just like saying the type of like stuff I even want to put out right now, you know, so I don't have any desire to put out.
Right. Yeah, well, with Medium, I think I checked that out before. I just never sat down and got engaged in it, but I think I am gonna take the time because I have been getting my trying to get my writing skills back when it comes to writing articles and stuff. I kind of strayed away from it because I'm so adapted to making a video versus writing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and it's like,
I just love creating content.
Yeah, you know, yeah, and I'm getting, I love it too. I love it too, and I'm getting back into that. Into that realm of writing and stuff. That's why I gotta finish my book, because I want people to get back. Even though I'm a double down and do the book, a printed of the book, the audio book, and a video possibly, detailing my story. You know, and that I gotta make sure as I'm writing, I want to be as transparent. And see, that's another thing. See, I'm writing this book, and I'm gonna be as transparent as possible as I can be. With no lies or none of that going on, you know, and it's gonna be, if you read the book, it's gonna be open game to my business. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's gonna be open to people being able to ask questions because I'm not holding nothing back. I'm just telling my story from my eyes and how I seen things growing up and stuff like that. You know, so that's the thing, man. It once again, it goes back to this whole. You know, people got to stop telling people on social media that it's not your business. It is. If it's on social media, it's your business.
Yeah, and it is. And that's to answer the question, the title of this today's podcast episode. I mean, it truly is. When you put it out there and you haven't bothered to filter and refine how you want to put it out there, you're not controlling that narrative, then it is going to be somebody's business. You have to be really careful. I'm really bad about this too. I confess this. I'm really bad about knee-jerk reactions to headlines and not consuming everything in its entirety before I have a response, you know, developed.
And that's what most people do. That's what most people do. We all are guilty of reacting before we even get all the information, man. We just look at an article, a headline on an article that's being shared, and just off the juiciness of what the title may be, we'll make assumptions and have responses just off of that. I ain't even read the article. You know what I'm saying? It was just like that article I shared the other day that Selena Johnson said that R. Kelly fans shouldn't be guilty about still listening to his music. Well, I'm almost sure I didn't get mad because I instantly went to read the article to see what she had to say. Because
I read the article.
That's something that has been discussed many times amongst me and people I know and kick it with and stuff. So I went and read it, but a lot of people didn't read what she said and just saw that and instantly said it was somebody out there that said, "Oh no, fuck that. If you still listen to R. Kelly, you a bitch, a loser, lame, all that other shit." You know what I'm saying? But when you read what she said, it perfectly made sense. And people shouldn't feel guilty. Because when you listen to his music back then and stuff, you were listening to it with a pure ear. You know, you wasn't listening
it. And two, he was in a different, I don't mean to interrupt, but he was in a different place in a lot of those albums. Like, "Did You Save Me?" "Happy People."
Yeah.
"Did You Save Me?" album. Like, the Lord could have been using him at that time to put out that inspirational, spirit-filled music, man. And that particular artwork then, that music is carrying, may actually carry a certain spirit to it to where it may still encourage somebody. But it's the same discussion as people digging skeletons up and just, like, trying to, you know, trying to hang them now. And I think it's the whole, what is it, Double Jeopardy, the whole minority, the Vanilla Sky sort of situation.
Yeah, yeah.
If you even think about, I think we are going to get to a point where your thoughts, if you even think about, you know, doing something wrong, you're gonna be found guilty, and you're gonna be persecuted before you even commit the action. Like, you won't even be allowed to even, like, have a bad thought come into your, like, mind. You know, you really would have to have some sort of, like, control over that. But we're going to get to that point, and in the next decade is gonna be weird. Like, I thought 2010 through 2019 was just pure internet development, but this next decade is just gonna be like, It's gonna make me, like, stick closer to God than ever before. Stick closer to Jesus Christ than ever before.
Man,
we're about to see some crazy stuff.
We're already seeing it. We only barely 2 months into the year, and we've seen a lot.
Man, you said 2020 just feels like
it's weird. We seeing deaths. We seeing extreme things going on around us with people and stuff like that. It's getting real. It's getting real interesting already. You know what I'm saying? And the other day when I had the chance to meet David Banner or whatever, and he specifically talked about in the media press conference or whatever I'm going back to when we was talking about headlines and just reading shit. He said that social media has it where people are always trying to be the first. It used to be back in the day that when you get a scoop, you dig for the information and stuff, and that's the exclusive, that's the scoop. But now the scoop has turned to, I'm going to be the first to post that shit. You know what I'm saying? I want to be the first to post that shit, and people are running and doing it and not getting no information. They just posting false information, false headlines, don't have a meaning behind their headlines. And I was like, oh shit, that shit makes sense, because I'm guilty of that shit. Sometimes I run and post something on Swangin' with Big Yon, my Facebook Swangin' with Big Yon page, so that I could try to be the first for people to see it without any information, just so I can get those numbers, those views, those followers. You know what I'm saying? So I know if I'm doing it, that people that's in mode and got buku followers and shit is doing it too. You know what I'm saying? That hit home because I'm guilty of that. You know what I'm saying? I am guilty of trying to be the first with the scoop. Because that's what media do. I'm a self-made media specialist, so that's what media do. You know, I learned that in undergrad. You know what I'm saying? But like he said, when I was in undergrad, we were taught, when you get the scoop, make sure you get all the information. But now it has transformed from that into let me post this first so that people can come to my shit first.
Right, right. But, you know, even on the opposite end of that, I think, what's bubbling underneath the waters is people are yearning for, like, really in-depth analysis, thought-provoking content, things that's going to make you change your mind or get you to think differently about things, which is why I'm not even... Because that whole being first is fleeting, even when you realize it, because, you know, I look at... Here's a funny thing. When somebody drops a new album, you know, I immediately went to YouTube to see who posted a reaction on it. Who was the first one to post a reaction? They're like lower tier YouTubers with smaller numbers, people I never even heard of before that don't really have anything thought provoking to say. They just wanted to be first, and it was fluff. So I just depend on like I depend I wait on people who are going to really dig into the nuances of an album, really give their ear to certain sounds, certain lyrics, certain bars that's being spit, all those things. So I just would rather wait on the YouTubers I listen to, like Anthony Fantano or Dead End Hip Hop, to see what they have to say about it to, you know, really break the music down. And I gotta say, you know, that, I'm really just, in terms of music, I really want to put out that Griselda. Like, their sound, man, is really, I don't know what it is, but they've really done something with traditional rap and just making it sound so good. That WWCD is just, I gotta say, that probably, I'm late to the album because I really just started like really paying attention to it. But I gotta say that probably would have been my 2019 album of the year, like for Griselda, because just their chemistry and just their hard raps and very gritty and realism that they bring to the music is just it's something. Man, it's something different, you know. So I know we're not talking about music. I probably just went off left field with that, but I just because we're kind of talking about, you know, the realities of certain things. I just wanted to put that out there that their music, man, is something else. I really would recommend people really giving that album a good listen. So
yeah. But yeah, you did kind of go off the topic at hand here.
I got you.
But man, we gonna wrap it up in a minute here. So it's a few more things I want to touch on real quick. With not only with your business being my business, but the nature of nosiness pertaining to social media and people's business now. Nosiness is a nature. It's a norm. It's human nature. That's what I'm trying to say. Nosiness is human nature, but social media has made nosiness the norm. And what I mean by that is nobody, no matter what, you know how you could tell your partners and your homegirls and them, I ain't nosy. You know what I'm saying? And you might not be when you out there, you out in the world and shit, but on social media, you nosy. You know what I'm saying? We all are guilty of scrolling social media and you see somebody arguing and you try to dig into what's going on, what caused the argument. You might not even come in or say nothing about that, but you want to know, you want to be in the loop, you want to know what's happening. If somebody has getting into it on social media and it's 200 comments, you want to read all 200 comments to see what people saying. Social media has created that madness. You know what I'm saying? Like it has took nosiness to an all time high. You know what I'm saying? And it's been amplified. Nosiness has been amplified because people are willing to put their personal business out to the world nowadays. Their personal business. You know what I'm saying? It's things you can put out that you may want people to know just so you can get some opinions and shit. But people done got too comfortable with putting their pains and they gotten comfortable with venting the social media and stuff. We just got too comfortable with it. It's some things, you know, that you just got to keep to yourself. You know, it used to be a point in time before social media where our business was real, it was real intimate and it was limited to selected few. You know what I'm saying? But now people have got so comfortable mentally with telling their deepest, darkest secrets or their super personal business that, you know, you don't even realize. Before you know it, you done told social media and didn't even realize it.
Well, yeah, but I think a lot of that has to do with really either hungry for connection or hungry for personal worship, you know, because social media is going to do one of those two things. You either want to really connect with somebody, well, actually three, you either want to serve somebody, usually for business purposes or whatever the case may be, or you want personal worship. I mean, it's think about all the likes and everything else, you know, and I fell into that trap many a times, especially earlier in the Facebook days where I would post content. I just wanted to, you know, I wanted people to see how dope of a writer I was or, you know, how funny I am. It wasn't even about them. It was more so just about me and them, like, you know, oh, look at me, I'm great and I'm talented. Like, that was my attitude, you know, earlier in the social media years. And I don't, for that reason, because I know that exists on the inside of me. It's another reason too why I don't even post often on, especially like Facebook. The reason I've moved over to YouTube and Medium is because now I wanna like find like-minded people and I wanna like serve a certain particular audience group, whether for business purposes or just to have conversations and just enjoy, and just for the sake of enjoying those conversations. I wanna build with other writers. You know, those are just certain like desires and everything. Because I like to see what other Christians' viewpoints are on certain biblical topics and building that being part of that sort of community. You know, which is why, in a way, I'm kind of glad Facebook has started this whole groups. Like, groups has become, like, super important. And I'm kind of glad as to why, though. I don't really have any inklings if there is any more sinister agenda to it. I have to do more research, but I'm not looking for that in that regard. I'm just trying to enjoy it for what it is. But with groups, it makes it more niched. You know, like, I'm part of a Final Fantasy VII group. I haven't found any Bible groups I want to be a part of just yet. What other groups am I a part of with Facebook groups? Or maybe off the top of my head, it's like VIP Kids, because I'll teach with VIP Kids and the Final Fantasy groups.
Yeah, groups.
Groups are great because you post things and it's for the benefit of participating in that particular community.
Yeah, yeah.
I just do it on my wall. Or my, you know, that people may see it, they just like, what this guy talking about?
No,
right now?
Much more fun, and because you can be interactive with almost like-minded people like you on that particular subject. You know what I'm saying? And it's rare, you know. Now there's some messy ass groups out there, but it's almost rare when you get the groups that you like. You know, it's nothing but fun. Then like in my I'm in a group. I got groups that I created. I got a private group about fitness and workout with people who I believe that are in the group. I believe are welcome to getting knowledge, sharing knowledge, gaining knowledge, just talking about getting fit and shit. You know what I'm saying? And then I got a group for the Shy, one of my favorite TV shows, and it's only a handful of us in there, but we are able to talk about the Shy without hearing that show is trash and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's right. Just things of that nature. And that's really social media, man, should be a platform for comedy, promoting business, things of that nature or whatever. But it's gotten so out of hand with negativity that we don't whoa, what's that sound, bro? What the fuck?
Oh, sorry. That was on my iron.
That was iron clothes right now. Ah, okay, man. Gotta be careful, boy. I heard a little water sound. I'm like, whoa, wait, boy. What is you doing?
I don't even know what you're trying to get at with that.
Yeah. You slow and shit. I ain't getting out of the way. But, man. Groups and shit is what it is, man. And anyway. That's about
what
it.
You was talking. The reason I even brought up groups and a whole niching with that is because of the fact, going back to your original point about the nosiness, you know, and people just when they put their content out in their business. I was making a point. I was trying to establish a point that there's reasons why people do that, and it's of the three. It's either trying to serve themselves, or trying to serve others, and if you could just narrow it down to those two, you're either trying to serve yourself or you're trying to serve others. You know, and a lot of times reason that people even get depressed from social media is because, like with likes, for example, I'd be very protective of Diana, my daughter, when she gets older, that she doesn't fall into the social media trap and she's seeking validation and self-worth off of some likes, some digital currency or something that means essentially nothing. And you and I both learned from trying to launch the Grand Vision store that social media is not a clear indication of how well your, you know, business is going to go. Like those likes and everything else, people just liking your stuff, that means nothing whatsoever. You know, but all it does is just gives dopamine hits to you and makes you feel good for the time being in this false sense of illusion, which is why I try not to even get caught up in it. You know, but I know that part of me does exist that, you know, sees it, and I'll get a big head, but I know I'm being deluded.
Yeah.
I know I'm being very much so tricked by the system that Facebook has set up. And even look at your own behavior. Like, you scroll, man, and so you catch a glance at something that somebody says, you click like, and you move on. It means nothing. You know, it absolutely means nothing. What means a lot is when people actually comment, they have something to say, they want to participate in this little micro community that you just created on this post, and y'all get in a meaningful discussion, you see what happens. You know, that's what means something. You know what I'm saying? They just, I mean, honestly, they just need to do away with likes, period. That there needs to be conversation. We need to get off of this whole, like, well, I don't agree with you, so you're a meanie and you're a bigot because you don't have the same beliefs and you don't agree with what I said. And we need to go back to being sensible, being thought-provoking, and encouraging discussion, and not being emotional and having these knee-jerk reactions and not getting the full story on things. You know, that's how people are getting shot now. It's just sad what happened to, well, I know Pop Smoke's death has nothing to really do with that and stuff, but, I mean, they say it was from jealousy. That's the only reason why I bring it up. If it truly was from jealousy, I mean, what could have been done in Pop Smoke's situation to where those guys that popped him, you know, didn't have to, they could have done something. I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the nature of the beast, man. And if you was familiar with Pop Smoke had like a short-lived sense of fame per se. And his shit came from for me, I knew about Pop Smoke for a little minute now. Not his music. I listened to Welcome to the Party and it was cool or whatever a while ago. But it didn't just stand out to me like that. But he got short fame because of that video on Worldstar that went viral of him. They showed him when he was like 12, 13 years old and some cats were slapping him up at and on the street or something, taking his blue rag off, stepping on it and stuff. And then he caught him. They said it was 7 years later. But if Pop Smoke was 13 in that video and he died at 20, that would mean that happened this year or whenever he turned 20. But Pop Smoke in that video, he didn't have hair. He had long ass hair, whatever. Anyway, he caught the dude some years later down the line and beat his ass in a convenience store and stuff.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? And he was like, I'm gonna send you the link to the video. You know, he was like, yeah, you know what's cracking, cuz it's Pop Smoke, whoop de whoop de whoop. And they just beat the dude up, man. The dude didn't even know he was finna get beat up. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I first learned of Pop Smoke. That was like a year ago when I seen that video. You know what I'm saying?
This was a retaliation, man.
Like, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that video. It's no telling how long ago that happened. You know, it's no timeline on that. But I'm just telling you that that's when I got familiar with him. But you know, that's just what the game is. Yep. But X, man, we gonna leave it at that, man. I just kind of wanted to touch bases on that and give my listeners something to, you know, think about or whatever, and chime in on and send me some feedback. You know, let me know what y'all think and stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about? But I'm going to wrap this thing up, man. We're going to get on out of here, man. You know what time it is, man. Leave your links, whatever you got going on. You know, let the people know what it is.
Xbox, X-Biggles, man. I don't even have any links, to be honest with you, that they can, you know, find me on YouTube. Type in DLJ Works for my web design, you know, YouTube. If you need no website or anything like that, you need to come holler at me. DLJ Works. Find me there. You can also look up Deshaun Johnson. Look at my other self-named YouTube channel and my Christian YouTube channel, where I try to dive deep into biblical topics. Is God for or against me? You can also find me on Medium at Deshaun. I think it's Deshaun L. Johnson or something like that. You can just type in Deshaun Johnson. That should come up. The Ned Flanders looking photo that you compared me to is the profile pic for that. So.
All right, yeah, well, you know what it is, man. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate you, X. You know what time it is, man. I'm out this thing. Swinging with Big Yum, live from the Dash. It's Swinging with Big Yum podcast. Star forever, you know what I'm talking about? And I'm out this thing. Peace.
Yeah, we should do this again. It was fun. Let's do lunch, or in your case, all three meals per day, all in one setting, bro.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right, with your goofy looking ass. We out.
Yeah, child, yeah, nigga. We gon' swerve on them. We gon' swing on them. We gon' fuck all the best hoes, rock the best diamonds. I like to ride with my old lady in the right lane, the slow lane. Me and my girl blowing that dodo, man. Boost it, get real clean and take photos, man. I like to do my thing. If you was me, you'd do the same. And nigga, we be swerving. And nigga, we be swinging. We got the drums banging.
Shit potent, steady choking, the tree of youngin'. If ain't money, ain't nothing. If I don't feel you finna kill something, you ain't coming. Told my girl we finna see big dollars. Just stay humble, I got a ball. I got this ball, and I ain't fumbling. Told my dog, man, just hold on. You can't rush it before you know it. It'll all be over. I know it's fucked up, drunk the truck up. Shot straight to Texas, kicked it with pimp. He was like, what's up? Let's get the streets what they want here. Turn the bass up. That shit that started aching up my ears. That started shaking up my mirrors. And that's how I like to hear. Old pussy ass nigga, can't you tell from my lyrics? I'm what you call fears. Ain't none of these generic. I rock the finest diamonds so they probably look clearer. In the hood where you find me, round a lot of hood niggas. Jamaica serving, yeah, I'm iced out, bling bling. Check out my wrist, all my fans be like, Boosie, you be clean as a bitch. Me and Lil Webby got the streets fiending for this. We hit the stage, all the ladies they be screaming and shit. I guess I'm blessed, thank you God for all the blessings you sent me. You used to stress me with pennies, now you're blessing with Bentley. Gotta put that candy on that old school for spectators. Trill niggas go shine all the time, cause these paper chases. Red bones, caramel, Boosie. Make them stop and stare. Before you know I'm in their underwear. I'm a fool. Look at me, man, I'm blinged up. All my cars screened up. All my bras cook for me and eat me up like King Tut. I live the life of movie stars. Everything I rap, I do it, boy. And when I hit the club, I scream hard.